Thank you. truth and life. Put your trust in him alone, Christ alone. Now we're trusting in the Savior. We've been made his fellow heirs. We enjoy his blessed presence, and on him we cast our cares. Then one day we'll go to glory, and we'll see our Savior's face. There our God will show the fullness of the riches of his grace. His grace, for by grace we are saved.
Amen. Thank you, ladies. What a great blessing. And a choir, wonderful song about the will of God and not my will, but thine to be done. Let's take the word of God this morning. We will go to the book of Jude, right before the very last book of the New Testament, the book of Jude. And I want to begin in just a moment in verse number 17 and read down to the end of the chapter. You know, as we think about life and we think about people in life, in every walk of life, there are what we might call difference makers. In fact, I think that there are athletes who make a difference on their team. No doubt we find people in the field of medicine and maybe medical research that make a difference. We find inventors who make a difference. I'm reminded of the man by the name of Niels Bohr. Back on July the 10th, 1962, the U.S. Patent Office issued Mr. Bohlin, this Swedish engineer, a patent for the three-point seatbelt that we all use today. In fact, it was first introduced in the Volvo, and they gave it as a gift to the other car manufacturers for the safety of people. In fact, it is estimated that because of the three-point seatbelt that we all use today, that it reduced fatalities and serious injuries by 50%. In fact, they have estimated that Mr. Bohlin's patent has now saved over 1 million lives because of the three-point seatbelt. He made a difference. But this morning, I am not talking about a difference that we might make in the world as far as some great patent like that. But I come to the book of Jude and we talk about an eternal difference that God wants us to make. You know, all through history, there are people, young and old, that have been difference makers in their life. In fact, we think about Edward Kimball. Most people do not even know that name. What did he accomplish? Well, he was a Sunday school teacher. And Mr. Kimball had the privilege to lead a young man by the name of Dwight L. Moody to Jesus Christ. Amen. It is said about Mr. Moody's life that he personally won over 1 million people to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. I think Mr. Kimball made a difference with his life. I am told that when the Queen of Korea lost her little child by death, it was a slave girl. Now think of it, a slave girl in the palace that told her of heaven and where the child had gone, and that Jesus Christ was the only way of salvation. Thus, the gospel was first introduced in Korea by a little captive maid. We do not even know her name, but that little girl made a great difference. We could talk about other men. We could talk about, as we think of William Carey, who's known as the father of modern missions, and how that Mr. Carey's evangelistic work was so used of God. He began schools. He began educating so many people during that time. He started, in fact, educating all different castes, not just the elite. He started the first college in Asia. He translated all of the Word of God into 44 different Indian languages. William Carey made a difference. Now, brethren, today, how is it possible for you and me to make a difference for Christ in this world? We may think today that, Pastor, I don't have a lot of education, and Pastor, I'm not really gifted. I don't have a lot of resources. There's no way that I can make a great difference. Brother, I'm going to tell you something. It doesn't matter your education today. It doesn't matter how old or young you are. God wants you to make an eternal difference for Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to be a difference maker. Now, we know on the flip side of this, that there are people that can make difference for the wrong reason. In fact, the Bible tells us in Ecclesiastes 9:18 that one sinner destroyeth much good. Let us never underestimate the amount of damage that one person can do outside of the will of God. Oh, that is why I want to stay close to the Lord Jesus. I want to stay near to Him because I could make a difference for the cause of the devil and not for the cause of Jesus Christ. May God help us all to determine in our heart that we will be difference makers for the eternal cause of Jesus Christ. You say, well, Pastor, how is that possible? Well, I believe the Bible gives us the ingredients on how that you and I like to preach on this subject, making a difference for Christ. Making a difference. Now, as we come to the book of Jude, we understand that this is written to Christians. And this morning, we must know that we can never make a difference for Christ until we know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. We must know Him, and we must be assured of the certainty of our relationship with Jesus Christ, but then to make a difference for Jesus Christ. Let's read our passage, Jude, and we will begin in verse number 17. The Bible says, "But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lust. These be they who separate themselves, a sensual, having not the Spirit. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And if some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen." You know something, in the midst of this world in which we live in, the true followers of Jesus Christ can make a difference for Jesus. Do you desire this morning? Is it something within your heart that you say, God, I want to be a difference maker. I want to make a difference in the lives of other people. I want to tell others of Jesus Christ. I want to share the gospel. I want my life to influence others for good and for God and for eternity. Amen. Well, I believe when we come to the book of Jude, God gives us what I believe are four ingredients on how that you and I can make a difference for Christ. Now, by the way, let me first tell you that the Lord Jesus Christ is the difference maker. Amen. In fact, the person whose life has been transformed by the Lord Jesus Christ, then and only then is able to make a difference or to be a difference maker in the lives of others. In fact, brethren, the degree of our usefulness to God in this matter of making a difference is directly related to how much of a difference we are allowing God to make in our lives. You see, we will never be a difference maker. We will never make an eternal difference for God and for His glory if we are not allowing the Lord to speak to us and to lead us and to guide us. I spoke in our Sunday school class this morning about how that we are to continue following Jesus Christ. And a part of following Christ is that we have a teachable spirit about us, that we remain yielded and surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we are going to be difference makers, then we must allow the Lord to make the difference that needs to be made in our lives. By the way, if we attempt to be difference makers in our own strength, we will fail. It is Christ in us that makes the difference in the lives of other people. In fact, it is the love of Jesus Christ in you, shown through your life, that makes a difference in this world. Oh, may God help us. I truly desire in my heart, as I have prayed, God, I want to make a difference for You. I want to know that when I stand before You one day, that I made a difference for Jesus Christ. By the way, there are people that they can get passionate about things. By the way, have you ever seen someone that gets passionate about a sports team? How many's ever seen someone like that? Man, they're passionate. I mean, we've seen some of those recently, right? There's nothing wrong with their passion. But can I tell you that simply being passionate about something does not mean that you are a difference maker. Just because something is necessarily important to you and me does not mean that we are making a difference in the lives of others. Let us think this morning, how can I make a difference? Men, can I tell you this? I want to make a difference in my family for God and for His glory. I want to make a difference there. Man, I want to make a difference in this church to stand with the Lord and to honor Christ and to be a man of integrity and a man of faithfulness to God. I want to make a difference in this church. Amen. Ladies, can I encourage you to make a difference in your home? To be a lady that is Spirit-filled, a lady who is loving her husband and taking care of her family. Young people, let's make a difference for God in our homes, and let's make a difference in our schools, and let's make a difference in our job sites. Wherever we go, it should be God's people that know His Word and love Him and make a difference for eternity for Christ. How can we make a difference for the Lord? Well, as I said before, I believe that there are four ingredients that God gives us in His Word. Let's look at them today. And let's ask God to help us. By the way, do you know that churches are suffering today from a lack of difference makers? I believe that. Do you know, in fact, in America alone, 4,000 churches close their doors every year? It's sad to think about, is it not? I believe that they would not be closing if there were men and women in those churches that were difference makers. Men and women that just didn't come just to receive, but they came to make a difference. They're going to make a difference in telling others of Jesus Christ. They're going to make a difference in their faithfulness and obedience to God. They're going to make a difference for God, and they're going to have an influence here in this life. Brethren, Christ, if you know Jesus Christ, He has come to indwell every believer. And by faith, as we allow Him, He will make the difference in and through our life. By the way, I can think of people right now that made an eternal difference in my life. Can you think of someone right now that's made a difference in your life? That God brought them into your path and God brought their life to your life and they made a difference for you. Well, can I tell you something? I want to be that type of person. I want to make a difference for the Lord. So let's look at some things here today. And I want to show you some things. I pray that God can help us. Let's look as we look back in the book of Jude. And I want you to notice what it says here. Jude, and let's go into verse number 20. It says, "But ye beloved." I love that. An affectionate term. He says, "But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith." Now, the first word that we find, and I want to use this as an illustration today, and I just want to give you these words. But the first thing that we must do in order to make a difference is the word build. Building up yourselves on your most holy faith. Now, what is this holy faith? Let's go back to verse number 1 of the book of Jude. We did not read it, but let's look at something here. The Bible says, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ, and called. That's a great statement, isn't it? Verse 2, mercy unto you, and peace, and love be multiplied. But look what he says in verse 3. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly, look at this word, contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Now, what is this faith that Jude is talking about here? It is our faith in Jesus Christ. It is faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. There are not many ways. There is only one way. And we believe that Jesus Christ had to go to the cross. And he bled and died for the sins of all mankind. God took the sin debt of the world and placed it upon Jesus. The Bible says that he became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That is our faith. Jesus was buried in the borrowed tomb, and 3 days later, he rose from the grave. Amen. Brethren, our faith was once delivered to us, but it must be contended for in every generation. So the Bible says that we build on our faith in Christ. That's the very beginning. Brethren, you cannot build on a foundation that is not there. Our foundation begins with Jesus Christ. But we are to build on that foundation. Now, by the way, there is so much confusion today about the Christian faith. In fact, I believe that there are many who profess to be Christians that do not possess the Lord Jesus Christ. They do not know the Savior. In fact, you know, the Bible tells us that in that day that there will be many that will say, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name and in thy name done many wonderful works? And in that day, the Bible says, the Lord will say to them, depart from me, I never knew you. Brethren, just because someone professes to know Jesus Christ does not necessarily mean they have the faith of Jesus within their heart and life. But we must build on that holy faith. Now, by the way, this building process, as we are building, you know, years ago, we were able to build a new building here. And I remember they spent weeks, and it seemed like it was taking forever for them to just begin the process. When the walls began to go up and, you know, the stud walls and all of that. Boy, it was exciting to see. They were building. It was an anticipation of waiting for that. I tell you, I don't know about you, but I love to see something built. I love it when I drive by and a new house is being built or something is being built. It's exciting. There's work being done. There is labor being accomplished. There is sacrifice being made. And in our Christian lives, if we are going to make an eternal difference for Jesus Christ, we must be building on our most holy faith. Now you say, Pastor, how do we build? Well, let's take our Bibles and go to Acts chapter number 20. I want to compare Scripture with Scripture this morning. And I want to show you what I believe the Bible teaches us about building. Can I ask you a question this morning? Are you building on your most holy faith? It is sad that some Christians get saved. Wonderful, they get saved, but they never grow in their Christian life. You know why? Because they're not building on their most holy faith. They're just not growing. And what is the way that you and I can grow in our Christian life? In fact, the Bible tells us in Romans 10:17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I want you to hear me very clear. It is impossible for you to make a difference for Christ and to build on your most holy faith without the Word of God. Right. It just doesn't happen. This is the tool. This is the resources to build on your most holy faith. If we neglect the Bible, we are not going to make an eternal difference. If we neglect to memorize and to study and to hide God's Word in our heart, we will not make an eternal difference for Jesus Christ. We must build on our most holy faith. Acts chapter 20, look what it says in verse number 24 as we look at this. I've preached on this recently in our church, but the Bible says, "But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God." That is my life verse, and I want to finish my course with joy. I want to make a difference. Let's read on. Look what it says in verse number 32. "And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace," look at this, "which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified." Do you know what I believe the inheritance is? I believe the inheritance is making a difference in the lives of other people. But it is impossible for you and me to make a difference, men, in our families, with our wives. Can I tell you, wives, in your home, with your husband and with your children, in our schools, in our workplaces, if we do not know the Bible, obey the Bible, and live the Word of God, you will make no eternal difference in life. Here the Bible says, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. Folks, on this faith that we have, we must build. And this cannot be done without the precious Word of God. I want to ask you a question this morning, and I don't want you to answer, but I want you to think about this. Is God's Word really valuable to you? Do you know there are parts of our country where people would give anything to own a copy of the Bible? There are parts of our country that God's Word is illegal, and if you are found with the Bible, you can be imprisoned or put to death. But we have multiple copies in our homes, and we are thankful for the privilege of the Word of God. But can I ask you, do you read it? Do you know it? Do you hide it in your heart? Do you find comfort? Do you rest your life on the promises of God's Word? Brethren, God's Word changes us. God's Word transforms our thinking. We need the Bible in order to make a difference in this world. In fact, you know what? This, as Paul commended them to God and to the Word of His grace, which is able to build you up. You know, there must be a continual feeding on the Bible. I don't know that you would say this, but what if you told me, "Pastor, I'm really hungry"? I'd say, "Well, after church, you need to go eat." "Well, I'm not going to eat. I haven't eaten for a week or two now." And I don't think that would be many of us here. Definitely wouldn't be the teenagers, I can tell you that, all right? You know something? We have to continually eating, do we not? I mean, I'll tell you, as soon as church is over, we shake hands and we'll go home. My wife's prepared a wonderful meal for us at home, and we sit and partake of the food that has been prepared. God's Word is food for our soul. You cannot survive in this world. You cannot live a godly life in an ungodly world without the Word of God. It must not just become something that you bring to church on Sunday. It must just not become something that you go to in a moment of trial. It must become that you are in the Word of God daily. God's Word is within your heart. You are meditating on Scripture. You're bringing it back up because God's Word enables us to make a difference. You say, "Pastor, what do you mean?" Well, by the way, what if you come to someone, maybe at your job or at school or in your neighborhood or a friend or a family member? What if they come to you and say, "My life is falling apart. I have questions and I don't have answers"? Can you take them to the Bible and show them that Jesus is the only way? You see, we can make a difference in their life. What about for someone that you know that's struggling with addiction? You can make a difference in their life, but you must know the Bible. Because God's Word is what really makes the difference. It changes people's lives. Oh, listen, maybe you know a couple that does not know who to go to or who to turn to. Will you make a difference in their life? Listen, I've had many people. I think my dad has made a great difference in my life. But can I tell you something? It's because my dad lived the Word of God, and he showed me the Word of God. I thank God for my mom. She has made a difference in my life. But it was because of the Bible. I can think back to a basketball coach and a English teacher. I know that's hard for you to imagine, but, you know, I'm not saying she made a difference educationally wise, all right? But spiritually, she made a difference. But you know what? These were people who knew the Lord, who loved the Lord, and they loved the Word of God.
Amen.
Can I tell you this morning, the Bible must become our book. It must become that it is precious to us, that we are reading the Bible daily, that we are going to God's Word, we are hiding in our heart. And if we are going to make an eternal difference, it begins by building on our most holy faith. Remember, we must build. Secondly, as we notice in the Bible, let's go back to the book of Jude, if you would please. And I want you to notice the second word that I believe God gives us. By the way, there must be compassion in all of this. And if some have compassion, making a difference. But I'll tell you, the Bible will make you compassionate towards people. The Bible will make you have mercy and love and kindness. God's Word will change your life. And listen, the people that have made a difference in this world for God and for His glory, all throughout the past and all even in the present, are people who know the Word of God and they love the Bible and they are giving forth the Word of God. But the second word that we find back in Jude, I want you to notice back to verse number 20. But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. Look at this, praying in the Holy Ghost. Now don't let that expression frighten you to pray in the Holy Ghost, because all real praying is praying in the Holy Ghost. Do you understand that when we really pray, when we are praying according to God's will, it is praying in the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is another term for the Holy Spirit. And if you're a child of God this morning, the Holy Spirit indwells you. He is your comforter. He teaches you the Word of God. And as we pray in accordance to God's will, as the Spirit leads us in our praying, God blesses and He makes an eternal difference through our praying in the Holy Ghost. Now, I know I'm taking you on a little journey, but go with me to Romans chapter number 8. Romans chapter 8. And by the way, do you know that what I'm doing this morning is we are comparing Scripture with Scripture? I show you a verse in Jude, but then let's go to somewhere else and let's study the Bible together. We are to build on our most holy faith. Build. Some Christians, sadly, are tearing down the structure that God has built in their life. Let's not tear it down. Let's build. Let's reinforce it. Let's strengthen the things that remain. Let's contend for the faith that was once delivered. But then we are to pray in the Holy Ghost. Of course, we give this word pray this morning. I believe with all my heart that you will not make a difference in your home, in this church, and in our community for God and His glory unless you are praying in the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
Prayer makes a difference. Can I tell you, prayer is really when we work. I met with some staff yesterday and we prayed and sought God. It was wonderful. And I said to them, I said, as Oswald J. Smith said, when we pray, when we work, we work. But when we pray, God works.
Amen.
Can I tell you something? God really doesn't need my work, although I'm to be obedient to Him and I'm to labor for Him, but I need God to do His work. And folks, can I tell you, when we pray, God works.
Amen.
Listen, the battle is won or lost on our knees in prayer. In fact, you know, the book of Ephesians tells us that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. Can I tell you something? The battle is not won or fought with our words or with our fist. The battle is won or fought as we pray to an eternal God. We pray for God to do His work. Folks, do you understand today, and this is something so important, our prayer life is the communication that we have with God. and the connection that we have with heaven. If we lose connection with God by not praying, we will not make any difference for Christ in this world. Do you understand today, if you want to be a difference maker, then you must realize the greatest thing that you can do for someone else is to pray for them. Charles Spurgeon said, as someone asked him, what was the secret of the great Metropolitan Tabernacle when God blessed and thousands were saved? And they asked him, what is the secret? And he said this, my people pray for me.
Amen.
And you know what? He understood that they were making a difference with their prayer. You know, and I meet people from time to time that are maybe up in years, and maybe physically they are not able to do what they once used to do for Christ. And sometimes that can be discouraging. I'm sure that there will come a point in my life that I will get to that place where I will not be able to stand to preach. And I don't look forward to that day. But I'm going to tell you something. All of us can make a difference in our prayer life.
Amen.
And can I tell you this? Your Christian life is your prayer life. You want to judge your Christian life? You want to take a measuring stick to your Christian life? How is your prayer life? If we really don't pray, we're really not making a difference. And parents, do you know that we can make a difference in the lives of our children by praying for them? This morning I prayed for my children. I prayed for them by name, and I prayed specifically for needs that they have in their life. I prayed for my wife this morning. I pray for you. I pray for our missionaries. I pray for pastor friends. We pray together, and you understand that when we pray, that I can go to God for you and that you can go to God for me as we intercede for one another.
Amen.
Brethren, what a difference we can make when we pray. You know what? I believe many churches would not have the problems that they have if people would just pray. I believe churches, as I talked about, would not close if people would just pray. I believe that souls would be saved if people would pray. I believe that Christ would get the victory in our lives if we would simply pray. Romans chapter 8, look in verse number 26, and I want you to notice this. We are praying in the Holy Spirit. I love this passage. Romans chapter 8 and verse number 26. It says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Now here's what I want to explain to you. Folks, the prayer life of a believer must be moved from His will to God's will. You know, sometimes we may say, well, I prayed about it and God should answer my prayer. Not necessarily. Real praying is when we pray for Thy will to be done.
Amen.
The choir sang the song. And folks, I'm going to tell you something. Real praying is when we say, God, this is my request. This is my desire, but Thy will to be done. That's real praying. Real praying is that we want God's will to be accomplished more than we want our will to be accomplished. In fact, when we are praying in the Holy Spirit, we are in unison with God's will. We desire what He wants. He puts those very desires in our hearts, and we pray according to the will of God. Brethren, you can make a difference in my life by praying for me. And I can make a difference in your life by praying for you. Men, you can make a difference in your wife's life by praying for her. Ladies, you can make a difference in your husband's life by praying for him. Parents, we can make a difference in the lives of our children by praying for them. Listen, I believe today that I'm here as a pastor and I'm seeking to serve God because of people who prayed for me. I remember one night late on 7121 Rollins Lane in Knoxville, Tennessee. I came back to my mom and dad's bedroom. I was a teenager, and at the time I was away from the Lord. I was not where I needed to be in my heart. Oh, I was still in church, but I was in the far country as the sun went. You know, you can go to the far country and still be in the house of the Lord. But I remember that night coming back to my mom and dad's bedroom. The door was open, and I was getting ready to come in, and they had already gone to bed and all that, but I heard talking, and I stopped. Maybe I shouldn't have, but I did. And my mom and dad were praying, and I listened to their prayers. I heard my mom pray for me. I heard my dad pray for me. I'll tell you something, it was hard to get over their praying. Because they were praying for me to turn to the Lord. They were praying for me to have a heart for God. I'm going to tell you something, it made a difference in my life that day. And not just hearing their prayer, but knowing that their prayer. Listen, when we pray to God on behalf of someone else, we are touching God. We are reaching the eternal resources of an almighty God who is able to do what we could never do. Right. Oh, listen, praying. I want to encourage you today. That folks, we are not going to be difference makers without knowing how to talk to God in prayer. You're there in Romans. Would you turn back to the book of Luke? Luke chapter number 11. And I want to show you this before I move on to the third point. We're building on our most holy faith to make a difference. We are praying in the Holy Ghost. I remember the story of hearing when D.L. Moody went to a great evangelistic meeting. And when he preached, there were hundreds that came to follow and know Jesus Christ as their Savior. And D.L. Moody said to the pastor that was in charge of that evangelistic rally, he said to him, "Someone has been praying." And you know what they found? There were two little old ladies in that church. Oh, their bodies were almost crippled in pain. But ladies who gave themselves to God in prayer for the souls of lost people to be saved. I'm going to tell you something. God heard their prayer. And God did a mighty work. Listen, you know, sometimes we make the statement, and I've made it before. Well, the only thing we can do is pray. And we almost think of that as, well, can't do anything else. We might as well pray. That's our last resort. Brethren, prayer should be our first resort. Amen. It should be, are we praying? Are we seeking the face of God? Listen, the most kindest thing that you can say to me is, "Pastor, I'm praying for you," and you do. "Pastor, I'm praying for you and your wife." "Pastor, I'm praying." Listen, that's the greatest comfort that I can have is that people go to God on my behalf. But can I tell you something? I'm praying for you. I go to God on your behalf. I pray for the young people in our Christian school. I pray for God to do His work. And listen, we must pray if we're going to make a difference. If we do not pray, we make no eternal difference. Luke chapter 11, verse number 1, "And it came to pass that as He was praying," this is speaking of Jesus, "as Jesus was praying in a certain place, when He ceased, one of His disciples said unto Him, 'Lord, teach us to pray.'" Can you imagine what it would have been like that day to have overheard the prayer of Jesus? Have you ever heard someone pray and it convicted you about your prayer life? How many would raise your hand and hold it up high? I've prayed with people before and I'm convicted about their fervency in prayer. I'm convicted about their sincerity and their humility and their childlike attitude in prayer. It's beautiful in the eyes of God. And I can imagine these disciples, they heard Jesus pray, and one of them said, "Lord, we don't know how to pray. Will you teach us to pray?" And brethren, I want you to hear me out. Praying in the Holy Spirit is allowing the Lord to teach you to pray. Amen. It is yielding to His will. It is desiring that His will would be accomplished. I told my wife, I said, "I just want God to get the glory." You know something? Sometimes we pray very selfishly, do we not? And I'm very guilty of that. In fact, the Bible says that we have not because ye ask not. But then sometimes we have not because we ask amiss that we may consume it upon our lust. Sometimes we pray selfishly. And I'm going to tell you something. God does not bless or answer that prayer. It is praying in the Holy Spirit. It is praying in unity with God and His will to be accomplished. We are building. We are praying. Number three, and I want you to go back, if you would please, to the book of Jude. And I want you to see this. Number three, we are to keep. You say, "Pastor, what are we to keep?" We see the word keep, and the Bible says, keep yourselves in the love of God. So we build on our most holy faith. We are to pray in the Holy Ghost, but we are to keep ourselves in the love of God. Now notice what the Bible says in the book of Jude. It says in verse 21, keep yourselves in the love of God. Now what does that mean? Some people have wrongly thought that it means to keep God loving you. To keep God liking you. We've got to do something to make God love us. But such a thought is opposed to the revealed Word of God that our God loves us with an unconditional love. Amen. Aren't you thankful this morning that God, it's an uncaused love. We've done nothing to deserve it. It's an unconditional love. It will never stop. And it's an unending love. I mean, His love never stops and falters for us. Be honest, how many has ever had maybe a vehicle that, boom, when you first got it, you loved that vehicle, and after it began to fall apart, you began to hate that vehicle. Would you lift your hand and hold it up high? I'm going to tell you something, that's terrible, you know? We've all been there, have we not? My first vehicle was a Ford Ranger truck. I had been involved in an accident, and it had some more accidents after that. But anyway, all right? I remember when it would rain, I was driving down the road. One day it began to leak from the windshield, dripping on my hand. It didn't have a horn. I mean, my dad installed this button horn. And when I had to find the button to push the horn, you know. And I tell you, you know, when I first got that thing, man, I loved that car. I was so proud of it. Washed and waxed it, took care of it. But after time, I began to hate the thing, you know. It wouldn't work. It leaked on me and all kinds of things. Our love for things and for people often change. And we are changing people, do we not? But God's love for you and me never changes. Amen. So what does this mean to keep yourselves in the love of God? Some people wrongly think it means keep God loving you, but that is not correct. Some also believe that it means keep loving God. Now we are commanded to love our God. But this is not what this verse means. I believe the meaning of to keep yourselves in the love of God is twofold. Now, what does this exactly mean, to keep ourselves in the love of God? H.A. Ironside, when he commented about this verse, he said, "It is though I say to my child, keep in the sunshine." H.A. Ironside would say to his child, when you're outside, you know, keep in the sunshine. The ideal, maybe you've heard that phrase before, is it is to keep in the sunshine of God's love, to stay so close to the Lord, to stay near to His presence, that we recognize the reality of God's love. For instance, let's look at the analogy or the illustration of a parent with his child. When the child is seeking to obey the parent and honor God by obeying his mom and dad, there is a wonderful fellowship that that parent and that child has. And that child knows that his parent loves him, and that parent knows that he loves his child. But when there is disobedience, when there is disregard for the parent's authority and they are not right with the parent, they are not living or keeping themselves in the love of their parent. Now the parent loves them. That's not going to change, but there is hindrance. There is broken fellowship. And brethren, the twofold ideal is that we are to stay so close to God that we recognize we are under the sunshine of His love. By the way, I remember years ago I was traveling somewhere and it was a rainy, stormy time and just cloudy. And I remember I got on that plane and boy, we got up above the clouds. And you know what I found above there? The sunshine. Boy, it was beautiful. And I looked below and I could see the clouds and I could see the lightning and I could hear the thunder. But above the clouds was the beautiful sun. It felt so good to see it. You know what it is. We live in Ohio, right? And I love it when it's warm outside and the sun is shining. I just want to move my desk outside, you know. And I just want to sit there and allow the sun to soak in. But you know what? There are times when I get out of fellowship with God and I'm wayward. And you know what? I get in the clouds of disobedience. I get in the darkness of getting away from God. And I don't sense His love, not because He has failed to love me, not because He has stopped to love me, but I've stepped out of the sunshine of His love. And you see, when we keep ourselves in the love of God, we confess our sins and we walk with Him and we come to the house of God and we read His Word and we spend time in prayer and we honor Him with our life. And I'm going to tell you, we're in the sunshine of His love.
Amen.
I'll tell you something. Yesterday morning and this morning, as I read His precious Word, it was almost like the Lord was just hugging me. Like He was wrapping His everlasting arms around me saying, I love you, son. I'm with you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. That is keeping yourself in the love of God. Now, His love for you and me never changes. But I sometimes do not discern His love because I am wayward in my Christian life. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Keep your heart right with Him. Stay close to the Lord. But I believe the second really definition of keep yourselves in the love of God is that we need to keep ourselves in the conscious enjoyment of His love. Now, what I mean by this is, brethren, no matter what you are going through today, God has not stopped loving you.
Amen.
No matter what is going on in your life, God does not hate you. He is not angry with you. He is a God with an everlasting love. You see, circumstances cannot alter His love. Difficulty cannot strain His love. Nor our own failures can hinder His love. Brethren, God's love. Listen, we need to keep ourselves in the fortress of God's love. And recognize day by day that we need to be safe in the fortress of His love. By the way, the devil wants to attack us in the area that, boy, you know, you're going through these trials and the devil whispers to you and me, God must not really love you. Brethren, the devil lies to us about the love of God. And listen, we need to just get in the fortress of God's love. And by the way, when you're in the Bible, I'm going to tell you something. This is God's love letter to you. It's God's love letter. You know something I remember? I remember when we were in college together, my wife and I, we weren't married yet and weren't even engaged. I remember sometimes my wife would leave a little note on my car window. Man, I'll tell you, every day I came out there looking for that, you know? You know what I do? I didn't just take that and say, oh, no big deal, and throw it in the floor. No, you know what? I read it. And then while I was driving, I read it again. And then I read it and I tried to read into it, you know. That's really what she means, you know. And, I'm reading every word. I'm digesting everything, you know. And I put it in my pocket. And when I go to work, then I take it out, read it again. You know what I'm doing? Boy, I'm just living in the love, the affection. Brethren, God's Word is a love letter to you and me. And we are not living in the fortress of God's love when we are not getting in His Word. I'm going to tell you, when I'm in His Word, you know what He says to me? I love you, son. I've got a plan for you. I know what you're dealing with, and I will see you through, and I am with you day by day. And He speaks to me. He convicts me. He reproves me. But I know His love. Oh, brethren, our enemy, the devil, is good at making us doubt the love of God. And folks, if you are not in the fortress of God's love, His arrow of doubt, His dart of questioning the love of God will surely strike you. May God help us to be faithful in His love and keep ourselves in the love of God. Number four, the last thing. We're there in the book of Jude. And notice what it says. Verse 21, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Now, I believe that this is speaking of the coming of Jesus Christ. He is coming again. Brethren, are you looking for His return? I use this word as I've used them all. We are to look for His return. Now, think of it this way. Are you ready for His return this morning? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? But are you living for the Lord Jesus Christ? My mom and dad made a great sacrifice to put me in a Christian school, beginning in the fifth grade. But I remember it was really hard for me in the fifth grade. I struggled academically for sure, but I also struggled in other ways. I struggled in my behavior. I remember, you know, we had a teacher. Her name was Mrs. Derryberry, all right? Now that just tells you everything about that teacher right there, all right? No, can I tell you something? She loved me. She helped me. But I remember, you know, you're a fifth grade boy, and you're trying to impress people and all that. And well, I shouldn't tell you this, but man, when she'd leave the room, I'd put something in her chair and I'd do certain things. And I know that sounds terrible. God's forgiven me for it. I want you to know that. But you know, I remember so often, you know, I was not behaving myself and she came back to class early. That was wrong of her to do that because she told me how long she was going to be gone. But you know, I was not ready for her return. I didn't look for her return either, you know. I think we understand this. Brethren, when we are looking and loving the appearing of Jesus Christ, we are telling others of Jesus because we know He's coming again. We are living a holy life, a life separated unto Him because we are looking for His return. You know what? Some Christians are going to be ashamed at the coming of Jesus Christ. They're going to be ashamed. They're going to be living a life that is not pleasing to Christ and not honoring to Jesus Christ. And there is going to be shame. I know what it is on earth to be ashamed that someone's coming because I was not prepared. I was not doing what I should have been doing. But today, are you looking for His return? By the way, folks, I am to live the Christian life on a daily basis, moment by moment, looking for Him to return and loving His appearing. Are you loving His appearing? Our kids are now, and two of them are in Bible college, and it has been such a different thing. Many of you understand. And when Abby was first in college, we went to pick her up every time Christmas break or spring break. I just didn't want my little baby girl driving by herself. Well, now that Caleb is there, it's different, you know. Now he drives her, all right, and she prays. Her prayer life has gotten much better, you know, during this time. But you know what it's like for my wife and I, and we have that life 360 where we know, and I can see how fast my son is going, and son, what are you doing, you know? And but we know they're coming. And you know what I do the whole time? I'm like looking out the window. Are they there yet? No, they're not there. Are they there? Is that them? In fact, I remember as a kid growing up, I'd be waiting on my dad. Maybe this dad had brought home something special, you know, something dangerous that my mom didn't want me to have. But that was good stuff. And I'd sit on the front porch. I didn't have a cell phone during those days, but I'd sit there and I'd see the car coming down the road. No, that's not him, you know. And then, yep, I think that's him. That's him. Brother, that is what it means to love His appearing. It means to say, I'm ready for Jesus to come back. And I'm going to tell others about Him. And I'm going to live the kind of life that God wants me to live. We are looking for His coming. Brethren, today, this world needs people who will make an eternal difference for Jesus Christ. Everywhere you look, in every part of the Lord's work, your home, your family, your job, there are difference makers that are needed. I wonder where there are young people that will be difference makers in your school. And you'll take a stand for godliness and righteousness. You'll do it in compassion. You'll do it in love. But you'll take a stand for the Lord. I wonder where the men are today that will say, by God's grace, me and my family, we will serve the Lord. And we'll be faithful to the house of God. And we will do what God has given us to do. I will lead my family. I will make a difference in my home. I wonder where the ladies are that will say, I will make a difference in my home. I'll pray for my husband. I'll pray for my children. I will teach them the Word of God. Listen, folks, we need difference makers. Every aspect of life. And by the way, this is not something that we can just, yes, one day I'll be a difference maker. There is no time to waste. There needs to be an urgency about making a difference for Jesus Christ. Brethren, allow God to use you to make a difference in the lives of others. Allow the Lord to change your life so that you can bring about a great change in the lives of others. So what must we do? Build on your most holy faith. Pray in the Holy Ghost. And then we are to keep ourselves in the love of God, looking for His return. Let's bow our heads in prayer this morning. Our Father in heaven, Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the book of Jude. It's a powerful book. And Lord, I pray that we as God's people would desire to be a difference maker, to make a difference that's eternal. Oh Lord, may we not live into ourselves. May we not seek to just please ourselves, but Lord, may we deny self and take up our cross, and may we follow you. Lord, I do not know the needs here today. I do not know the desires, but you see every heart of every individual. You know if there are people here that are lost without Jesus, and I pray today that they would leave their seat and come in a moment to put their faith and trust in you. But Lord, I pray that you will deal with us about these ingredients of a difference maker. Lord, may we build our life by the Word of God. May we pray in the Holy Ghost. May we keep ourselves in the love of God, and may we look for your return. Do your work today, Father, work that I cannot do. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. How many would say this morning, Pastor, I know Jesus Christ is my Savior, and I know that if I died today that I'd go to heaven to be with the Lord. That's settled. I know that. Would you lift your hand and hold it up high? Preacher, I know Jesus Christ is my Savior. Amen. Thank you. But how many would say this morning, Pastor, I do not know the Lord, and I do not know where I would go if I died today. Would you pray for me? If that is you, I will not embarrass you, and no one is looking, and I'll not point you out. But I just want to pray for you. You say, that's me, preacher. Would you pray for me? I don't know where I'd go if I died today. Pray for me. Would you lift your hand? That's me, preacher. Pray for me this morning. Pray for me. Thank you. Amen. I want you to know, if you're here today and you raised your hand, God knows. And God desires for you to know Him. In just a moment, when we stand to sing and the piano begins to play, I want to ask you, if you don't know the Lord, leave your seat and come. I know it takes courage and boldness, but I'll be standing here and we'll have someone take the Bible and show you how you can know Jesus Christ as your only Savior. But today, how many would say, preacher, God has dealt with me, and I want to be a difference maker for Jesus Christ. Would you lift your hand and hold it up high? That's me, preacher. That's what I desire. I want to be a difference maker. Amen. Well, I wonder today, are these ingredients in your life? Because if they're not, you will not make a difference for Him and for His glory. Today, if God's spoken to you in just a moment, I want to have you come. Maybe you'd like to come and commit yourself to the Lord to be a difference maker. And therefore, these ingredients will be a part of your life. Let's stand together, would you please? I want to close in prayer, and then let's do business with the Lord. Let's let God have His way this morning. Father in heaven, I thank you for your word, and I thank for the clarity of your word. Lord, I thank you for people that have made a difference in my own life. I'm thankful for them. Lord, I wouldn't be here today if it were not for people that showed me the love of Jesus Christ. And they showed Christ to me. God, I pray that you will make me and our church and those that hear this message, that we would purpose in our heart, that we would build, pray, keep, and look so that we can make a difference. Lord, do your work. And I pray for those that raise their hand that need Christ, that they would leave their seat and come. Do your work this morning. Help us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take our hymnals today, if you would please, and go to hymn number 515. Near the cross. Jesus, keep me near the cross. There is a precious fountain free to all. Today, if God has dealt with you, take the time and let's take the time to make a difference. And let's let God have His work in our life. Hymn number 515, we'll sing it together. If God has dealt with you, would you leave your seat and come?
Close my gallery's bow.
can just remain standing there. And so grateful that you're here today. What a great crowd, and appreciate the visitors coming. But we're very thankful. Last Sunday we had a couple of baptisms in the Sunday morning, and of course Dustin got baptized and he's here today, but also Victor. And we have with us Victor and Brittany, and then Blake and Josie, right? And Josie has no shoes or socks on, all right? And so she's my kind of little girl right there, all right? And this family, God has brought this family to our church. And both of them, Victor and Brittany, both know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And both of them have been baptized in believer's baptism. And they're coming today to join our church. And all God's people said, amen. And I'm so grateful for this. They have been such an encouragement to me, and their love for God's word, and just, man, they're excited. And so I want you to be a blessing and to help this family, Victor and Brittany, and then Blake. And Blake's got the cowboy boots on, like her too, all right? And then little Josie. And so they're going to be standing in the back with my wife and I. We want you to welcome them into the fellowship of God's people here at Grace Baptist Church. Thank you for coming tonight, 6 o'clock. I want you to be in your place. Let's let God have His way. And I've got a message on my heart that I want to bring to you tonight. And I pray that God will do His work. Brother Stevens, would you come and close us in a word of prayer?
Let's pray. Lord, I pray that You would help us to stay near the cross. And Lord, that we would realize that prayer is our greatest tool that we can use. Lord, I pray that we would come boldly before Your throne. And Lord, as we go out today, I pray that You would help us to continue to remember this message and to live it out in our life. Lord, thank You for Your word and how it works on our hearts, how it helps us, how it encourages us. And Lord, I pray that we would run to it and run to You. Lord, I pray that You'd bring us back tonight. Give us safety on the road. In Jesus' name, amen.